Have you ever found yourself asking the question, what if I'm no longer around? If so, this is the episode for you. Welcome to Beyond the Rut, the podcast that shares encouraging stories and practical tools to help pull you out of your rut into a life worth living in your faith, family, and career. I'm your host, Jerry Dugan, and in this episode, we're going to be joined by retired firefighter and coach, David Landis. He is going to share with us the power that journaling had for him in his life, helping him discover that he was in a rut. He was just moving along aimlessly in life. He had some things in place, but he didn't quite have it defined why. And what did he want to do most? And what could he do more of or less of? And so on. But journaling helped provide that clarity. So we're going to talk about just that. Why journaling is important in your life, how it can help bring you clarity in your life, and then from there, once you have that clarity, what do you do about it? So sit back, relax, grab a notebook and a pen, because here we go. All right. Hey, David, thanks for calling in. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Jerry. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for welcoming into the Rutter Nation. It's a fun experience. I'm looking forward to the conversation. This
awesome.
Will be fun.
Same here. I'm glad, like, how we met was like a double whammy. Like, you reached out to me, like, because you heard about my show and so on.
Yeah, and I was like,
yeah, this guy's pretty cool. And then, like, a day or two later, you're on a call that I'm in a networking club called the Phoenix Club,
right.
And you're in there and you're sharing your story. I'm like, this guy sounds familiar.
Yeah.
David. Yeah. And I go back to my emails. I'm like, that David.
Yeah. And we're across country.
Yes.
I mean, what's the small world that we're
yeah.
in?
Yeah.
And in the spirit of this conversation that we're going to have today, it's, what you're doing here, this conversation with the Rut Nation, and this whole, we're all challenged by the world that we're living in right now. And the work and the conversation that you're doing in this podcast, I wish I had way back when I began my journey of transformation, because, what people are experiencing and the issues you're addressing through all of your conversations are critical, valuable mission.
Awesome.
So I encourage you to keep going, and people are listening.
Thank you. Thank you. I wish I had this show when I was even younger, like in my early 20s, maybe my teens. And I've shared with some folks, like, the morbid motivation behind it is, at the time I got into podcasting, my kids were young. And so dad's dumb.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
What does dad know?
Of course not.
Yeah. and so then I was thinking about my own life. Like, I thought the same about my dad. Now that I'm older and I'm realizing, no, my dad understood because he's gone through the same things. He's been a parent.
Right.
He's been a teenager who was awkward. He's been all those things. But now I'm listening because I've gone through it. And it's like, what if I just record this so that if I'm not around, my kids can hit play? And it's like, oh, that's what he meant. Oh, that's why he did this. Oh, this is why this is.
Yeah.
And so that's why I got into it. And man, I've grown so much just by being the host of a show.
I'm sure you have with all the conversations with the variety of people and the variety of experiences. You've probably learned a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like a Slumdog Millionaire situation, too. Like, when I had a corporate job, to be able to go in there and problem solve with my team, they're like, how does he know that? I'm like, well, I had a conversation with this guy who used to run Walt Disney World, and that's what he did. And they're like, how'd you talk to that guy? And it's like, well, I have this show, and this guy Jody came out of nowhere and with a jar of Nutella and said, hey, talk to these guys. And it's just, I love this. I am literally podcasting all day today. But if I could do it every day, that would be exactly what I'm doing.
And it's amazing how that works. It's amazing how you follow those little intuitions, those little thoughts, those little ideas, this desire, this hope of something more.
Yes.
And then you start pursuing it. And then look what you've done. And look where, look what's happening. So it's a great thing.
I'm a firm believer that, like, if you're not growing, you're dying. And it's like, well, I don't want to die yet. So let's keep growing.
No.
Let's keep learning things.
No.
Oh, man. And so the thing I loved about your story, you're a firefighter. You were a firefighter, EMT. I was a combat medic way back. Like, if you got hurt right now and stubbed your toe, I'd be like, oh, that sucks. But
I'm sorry, man.
But I mean, 20 years ago,
I was hurt.
Let it out. Scream. You got this. But 20 years ago, I could have done something for you, like with a splint or tighten your boot or something. And you've gone through some struggles, though. And you mentioned before we hit record, like in 2008, there was this lull, this kind of rut you hit. But
then, again,
a little bit later, you literally got burned, but not on the job. And now you go out there and you speak with folks about being prepared, having your mindset just the right way so that you can drive your own success, which You know, all success is driven by mindset, and how we get there is going to be different by everybody. But I guess going back to like, what was life like as a firefighter? And, you know, you hit that rut, that first rut in 2008.
Right. Well, it's interesting how you end up in these. For me, it wasn't a rut anymore. It ended up being a hole.
Yeah.
I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go back. And I was just stuck. I was as deep as you could go. You were telling the story about your dad. My dad struggled, and my parents in general struggled. And I was determined. And his story was very, very difficult. And I'm not sure, as I was thinking about it, what I thought I was going to do differently than he did. Or both of my parents did, but I was determined as a young man not to repeat what the experience of the life my parents seemed to live. And now looking back, I am so grateful for my parents and the lessons I've learned from the experience I had, and grateful for how I've been able to grow and develop out of the challenges and the struggles. But in 2008, I had reached a point where I had to realize I was solving other people's problems for a living, but there I was, I couldn't solve my own. And my father would eventually go on to commit suicide. And so I had dealt with his challenges for 6, 7, 8 years from about 15 on. And then there I was at the firehouse journaling, trying to make sense of life. You know, we set off on this path determined to end up somewhere. We're not really sure. We think we know where we're going, but we're all just doing the best we can. And there I was journaling about it. And I was considering whether being alive was going to be the best option for me anymore. And I dealt with my father. I dealt with very serious challenges for people in, you know, situations that I would respond to as a firefighter. But there I was. And I was like, this scared me to death. Literally, it saved my life, because I didn't, after college, you know, you're thinking about life and what you're going to do. After college, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I wanted to be a husband and a father. And I was not being that for them in the middle of life and the challenges, because at the same time, I was being a firefighter. My wife was a entrepreneur. We owned businesses. You know, we went through all of that. So I was living the dream. I had all the things I thought I wanted. I was the dad that could go on field trips because I was a firefighter that worked 24 and was off 48. I loved it. It was great. We were great community, great everything, but something wasn't working. So I had to figure that out. And that set me on this journey of where I'm at today and trying to feel it. From a spiritual standpoint, I grew up in a very conservative Midwest perspective, and it just wasn't working for me at the time. And I had some serious conversations with God. And at the time, it led me to being a firefighter. I needed practical tools when I'm in a challenging situation. And that's how I focus on life and what I speak and teach and coach about now is the practical reality. I love the impractical, but my sons have taught me a lot about being a father and about leading. And I think there is a prime opportunity right now for leaders, whatever position, whether you're, as you know, coaching and teaching leadership, whether you're a formal leader or an informal leader, however you see yourself, we as leading families, leading communities, whatever position you're in, you have an opportunity right now in the crazy world we're living in. There are some actual practical tools we can use to lead ourselves and then lead other people in the direction that we want to go and live the life we want to live. So,
yeah.
For me, this conversation is about a mission and it's about hope.
Yeah. So when you hit that low point, what were those aha moments where you said, okay, this isn't working for me. This frame of mind I had, this specific belief I had, like, how did you start to realize, and what were some of the things you realized weren't working?
I didn't have these words for it at the time.
Yeah.
So if you're in that position, just keep working your way forward. You'll figure it out. We don't have all the answers when we're in the middle of it. But for me at the time, the first realization was that I had a good practice. I was journaling. I was reflecting. I was paying attention to what was going on inside of my own head. That's the first critical key. If I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't have known what was going on. I wouldn't have been paying attention. But then it was the journaling, whether or not I was going to continue to live. And knowing the other aspect of this besides the journaling is the clarity. I knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a husband and a father. And I was determined those two things I had clarity of understanding myself, and I had clarity of where I was going. Yeah. Those are the first two things. And then determination to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And you keep working your way from there.
Yeah. It's that rut framework before I even developed the rut framework, and you never needed it because you got there on your own. But you recognize you're stuck somehow. You've got this idea going through your head and you're writing it down, and it's giving you that clarity of, what if I'm not here anymore? What if I ended it? And on the flip side, you're like, but where I want to be is this father, this husband, this devoted family man who is pouring into people positively. And you've got that disconnect. You're like, okay, well, one of these are more important. Yeah.
Right. Well, what I did realize at the time, but what I was bumping up against was I couldn't be good enough. Mm-hmm. I couldn't work hard enough. I couldn't try hard enough. I couldn't control any of the world around me. I couldn't do anything. And so it just came out as anger and frustration and rage and not being the person I wanted to be around for myself, let alone to subject the rest of the people I love and care about.
Yeah.
And I had tried so hard to be good enough, to pray hard enough, to try hard enough. And so that brought me back to, you were talking about critical realizations. It was like the conversation I had with God when I was 15. I had to find some practical tools. So that's what I need to find some realistic, practical tools to work my way out of this.
Yeah. This is resonating with me because I've caught myself thinking a lot of the same things too. Like, I can never earn enough to get out of this financial hole. I can never advance far enough to really achieve the dreams I have professionally. And you know, stepping back and realizing, wait a sec, you know, have I talked with my wife about the financial struggles? And the answer was no. It's like, oh, well, let's bring it up in a way that doesn't make her feel threatened. And, you know, the aha moments from that was like, oh, wow, she's not measuring my success based on how much money I make. And she's, you know, just needs to hear from me. Like, what am I thinking? What am I seeing? What do we need to do differently? And not do it in a way where I'm blaming her. It's, you know, that two-way communication. I was like, oh, wow. But my mindset going in was, you know, we're spending too much and I can never earn enough. I'm not good enough.
Right.
Therefore, my worth is based on income and not something else. And it was so far from what I wanted to be in life, which was that devoted husband, devoted father, and somebody my kids and their friends could look up to as a positive role model. And I'm like, here, shooting myself down. And you mentioned that you needed practical steps to get there. Like, what were some of the practical things you put into place to start to dig out of that hole?
You know, as I said, it's been a process and it's been a journey, but I realized what I've come to since understand was that my job as a firefighter, back up just one sec, something you were talking about with, you know, not feeling good enough. Mm-hmm. For me, I wasn't measuring my worth in what I was able to obtain. It was just that life was stacking up with ordinary stuff.
Yeah.
With ordinary challenges. Yes, money is always a challenge in certain situations, especially when you're trying to build businesses and you're trying to do things and you've got young kids and you're raising a family. There's all of the stuff. But underneath that, it was about me and not being content with myself. There were things I had given up in this process of believing that I could try hard enough, work hard enough, and give enough of myself that one of the first realizations was that I had to back up and realize, how did I approach life as a firefighter? My job as a firefighter, our job is to go to work every day to solve problems, to deal with uncertainty. So how did we do that? We were prepared. I finally came to realize there was a structure of preparation that we used. And from that groundwork, that foundational structure and system and clarity and understanding and tools and practices, all of the things that we use as firefighters to respond to uncertainty, I could begin to use that with my life, whether that was meeting the uncertainty of the world around me or the uncertainty of my needs, my family's needs, or meeting the uncertainty of my own, not knowing how to move forward and just beginning to work my way through that process and beginning to understand ourselves. Much of what you've talked about on this podcast and many people are talking about, understanding our neuroplasticity and understanding the beauty of us as human beings and our capacity for navigating uncertainty and adapting and changing. But it begins with preparation.
You know, I once heard somebody say that a lot of us aim for nothing and hit it with amazing accuracy. And the idea behind that statement was that we don't know where we're going. We don't know what we want to do. And we don't give it much thought. Or if we do make a statement, it's a very vague one that doesn't have any teeth to it. And so I wrote a book called Beyond the Rut, Create a Life Worth Living in Your Faith, Family, and Career. It's a short read, 126 pages, and it'll help you go through that process of deciding and determining, who am I? Who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? What would success look like for me? Not what my parents told me, not what my friend John says down at the bar, but what do I want for success for myself and a life well lived? And if you're interested in that, go get a copy for yourself at beyondtherut.com/book. It'll take you straight to Amazon where you can get a copy for yourself. And then there's a lot of great, neat, free tools to help you along in your journey. Now, back to the show. What would be like one example of how you would start to prepare yourself to have that mindset and actually go execute it? Like, was there a practical exercise or a routine you implemented?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a structure, but one of the best things is, I mean, it's a complexity, but one of the, if you today are trying to figure out how am I going to move myself forward, a simple structure is creating your own statement of who you are. We don't realize what I love. And you don't need to get lost in the neuroscience of it all, but what that all tells us is that our minds have recorded our life so far, and we are just simply playing the recording, the repetitious who we have come to believe ourselves to be. And we can interrupt that process. And what I like about understanding science, having been a firefighter and a paramedic, our body is mysterious. There's stuff going on inside. And as a medical professional, you could affect and influence what was going on inside this body when you don't necessarily have direct access to it. And we have not necessarily direct access, but we can influence our thinking. And one of the practices that I used recently, I mean, we're all living in it, AI and the world and all of the stuff. I was having my own existential crisis about a month ago, literally. I was watching too much information, too many thoughts about what was going on. And then I was like, back up, David, use your tools. And I began to write my own script. I began to write my own story. I got a page I shared with some friends from the Phoenix group. I wrote a page of who I am. And I began to read this statement. What we don't realize in the practicality of neuroscience is that you have recorded your life much like you hear a song or a jingle or a commercial or anything, and it begins to play. And even now, I'm guessing from your childhood, there's a movie or a cartoon or a Yoda phrase or something from the Lord of the Rings or whatever that you can recall instantaneously that runs in your head. You can begin to interrupt that randomness with intentional thoughts about who you want to be and how you want to be. And right now, in this world we're living in, as I said, I wrote down a statement and I read it on a regular basis. I read different parts, resonate me. It was a beginning spot just to remind myself who I am and to interrupt the automatic stuff that I've collected over my lifetime and begin to reshape it. And I think you were talking about, where did this begin from the, you know, crisis I had in 2008 to now. It's been a continual process of learning that I can intentionally lead myself. I call it self-mastery. You can lead yourself and then manage yourself. It's a dual role you play for yourself. And then by extension, for all of those things that are important in your life. And that's why I see now as a wonderful opportunity. We're facing amazing challenges. I get it. We all are. But those of us who are willing to be courageous and stand up and lead, where we can all be fearful of life at moments. We can all experience it.
Yeah.
People, as a firefighter, people, you know, aren't you afraid to go into a burning building? Or aren't you afraid to go into that situation? Because my job was going into somebody's really bad day. And I learned to make friends with fear. Yes, there were those moments. It was like, hey, wake up, pay attention. There's something serious going on here. And then you go, okay, thank you for the information. And I deal with the information and I put it where it's supposed to be. And then I go do what I need to do. And I think, Jerry, you were talking about that again, going back to 2008 and that challenge. Part of what I wanted was to do something in life. There were things that I wanted to express, create, businesses I wanted to build, stuff I wanted to do. I'm also an artist, art I wanted to create. But I was afraid, because growing up as I did, I had a lot of challenge with self-esteem. people saw me as whatever they saw me as, a husband, you know, member of the community, firefighter, all the things. But behind all of that, my self-esteem was very low. And if I didn't begin to rebuild myself, it wasn't going to turn out well. And so all of us have this facade, this presentation we give the rest of the world, but it's simply a process of rebuilding yourself, coming back to yourself and beginning to rewrite the script. And we can do that. Understanding that we can influence that is such a critical message.
Yeah. And some of the key practices that have stood out to me so far in our conversation, you're already in this practice of journaling on a regular basis, if not daily. Uh-huh. And that was the aha moment when you started to see this pattern arise in your entries. Mm-hmm. And you also had this vision, kind of, this is what I want to be in life. I want to be the husband. I want to be this father, this engaged person in my family and community. And I'm starting to see this. So by journaling and by having this idea of where you wanted to be, you had the tools to at least recognize, like a monitoring system, like smoke detectors with fresh batteries mm-hmm. in them.
Absolutely.
not the tripping kind where you got to replace the batteries. And so you had that in place. But then in a sense, you had this vision you casted of, where do I want to be? What's this philosophy I want to live by? You know, in leadership, I talk about having a leadership credo. I believe in this,
absolutely.
And this. And because of that, this is what I want my leadership style to be. And because of that, you can expect this from me. And by having that defined, you now have, guideposts in a way, or mm-hmm. you know, it's like the things I will always do, the things I will never do. And you can monitor it through journaling and see, oh, okay, I'm getting off course now. I need to get back on.
Right.
And those things are just so powerful and very practical and very simple. And somebody's thinking, well, geez, that seems so simple. It's like, well, yeah, duh.
I think the reason that we run into this challenge of simplicity is because we've all had those experiences where we want something, whether it's a large goal or a small goal, and then we've bumped up against something that has kept it from us. And especially depending on your level of confidence, you can either go, I'm going to go prove this wrong and I'm going to become something. And so you spend your life proving that you're not something, or you spend your life pulling back, trying to prove that you aren't something.
Yeah.
And so we lack that confidence, some of us, to just accept who we are. And when we are challenged by situations and we want something more, the simplicity is what's required. I was listening to somebody talk recently about Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. and he had access to Kobe toward the end of his career. And he went into a practice. He said, "Can I come watch your practice?" And it was like he started at 3 o'clock in the morning, some crazy hour. Some of the ridiculous. And I'm not the big sports guy, but I love understanding athletes because they're an example of what we can do, the potential. They're not different from us. They just do different things than we do, think about it differently. So Kobe is there practicing. This coach thinks he's going to get there early and Kobe's already there. And anyway, the whole story goes on and Kobe comes out and he goes, "What are you doing? Why, you know, you're the best in the world." He goes, "Why do you think I'm the best in the world? I can do the simple things over and over and over again until that's just what I do."
Yeah.
And so journaling, clarity, looking for clarity. I didn't know it at the time. And now that we're talking and thinking about, you know, as a young man, at the firehouse, we each had lockers and I kept a 3x5 card from my youth of basically a vision. It was a very rough, loose vision. It doesn't have to be perfect. Take what you've got and write it down. Begin with something simple and begin to, our lives evolve and change. Begin with what vision you can now. Write it down. Make it simple. Whatever you've got. And those times when we bumped up against failures and bumped up against our own insecurities, they're not proof of your limitations. Possibility. My business is founded on possibility is personal. Unless you are empowered to reveal, express, create your potential, it's just not going to happen. I can't do it for you. Jerry can't. We can't do it for each other. We come together and support each other and encourage each other and help each other understand ourselves better. But we have to take that responsibility. And now with whatever small bit of vision you've got, hope you've got, hold on to that, write that down and embrace it. And hold on to the hope. My message is hope. Actually, hope is not an ethereal abstract concept. It actually has three components. It's been researched and studied. Hope is a goal, a path, or a process, and then the capacity, the skill, the ability to actually get there. And what I, the practical part of this is that many of us have been attempting to achieve something, create something, do something with limited skill set. And it's, you know, it could be easy to blame previous generations and things, but the world has changed so much just in our lifetime so far. And I saw research that's saying how much more it's going to change now. So from that little vision you've got that's written down, no matter how small, no matter how much struggle and failure and difficulty you've had in the past, you can change. Your past does not necessarily have to determine your future. If we, as Jerry was telling his story about your dad, and I'm telling my story about my parents and my dad, we can tell new stories about the past that either move us forward or hold us back. That's another tool. You can begin to rewrite that story. And so to summarize, what you hope is possible with a new skill set, a new understanding, new practice, new community, new, there is possibility out there. It's just a matter of developing a new skill set that you may not currently have either understood and developed or aren't currently practicing.
Yeah. And the power of that fresh perspective too. You brought it up. So I'm like, oh yes. yeah. I was just chatting with somebody else. He's from Australia and, you know, he's worked in the US for a long time. And he used to think that he had to assimilate to American culture. And then it dawned on him, wait, I'm the outsider with the outside perspective, the different point of view that's helping my team solve problems. And
absolutely,
you know, in a sense, I guess we got to become our own inner Australian. Because I mean, unless you're Australian already, then you got to be your own inner American or something. you got to have a different perspective. It's like from a different perspective, well, you know, going back to the past and saying, right. You know, I did experience this, but what's the positive out of that? And I've often shared a story of, you know, I would go on a work trip, there'd be a coworker with me, flight gets canceled, and my coworker's thinking, oh man, this always happens, and my luggage is going to get taken, and I'm going to wind up with a late flight tomorrow. I got to cancel all of my meetings, and this is such a pain in the butt. And I'm looking at the same situation like, I get a hotel room for the night and I don't have to pay for that. Company's got to pay for the cab ride there and back. I've already got a flight scheduled. I don't have to go into the office first thing in the morning anymore. And I can reschedule all my meetings I had tomorrow. And as soon as I get to the hotel room, I'm like, hey, I'm still stranded in this place. Can we book this meeting over here? I see we got an opening on this date, and done. By the time I wake up in the morning and get to the airport, that meeting is moved. I'm on my plane. The sun is shining. I land at a decent enough hour where I don't have to go in the office. I'm like, I got like a day off now and I get to hang out with my family. And same scenario, two completely different perspectives. And I like what you're saying. In a sense, we can be those two different people, but that one person changing the perspective on that one thing.
You're talking about simplicity. That this is another, that's a beautiful way to remind each other. That's why this conversation is valuable. That's why being a part of community, being a part of coaching, being a part of people that are thinking this way is so critical. It's that reminder. It's that shift. It's that, I can. At any moment, part of that, you know, what you were talking about, what I learned through this process is that right now, there are a million things to look at. Some of them we prefer, some of them we don't. They're always there. There is never a day when it all goes away and everything is perfect.
Yeah.
I had learned, you were talking, I picked up, one of the things I've had to learn is that perspective, because I think I picked up from the people around me growing up that they were always waiting for someday when life would be, and not living now and enjoying now.
Yeah.
And as a firefighter, when I walked into those situations, my son, who's now a man and has a family, and he's when he was younger and thinking about, I said, do you want to be a firefighter? He goes, no, I couldn't be a firefighter, knowing that somebody's always sick and hurt.
Yeah. Wow.
And but the reality is somebody is always, somebody I enjoy, Andy Andrews, I don't know if you've heard of him, author, and I've, coach, and he always says, you're either in front of a problem, you're either before a problem, in a problem, or after a problem. It's always going to be happening. And now is a time when you can be positive. Now is a time when you can look for the good things, because it's not, as a firefighter, responding to emergencies. What it's preparation you're talking about. Being aware, being awake. When I walked into situations, emergency situations, I was aware. It was often not a very pleasant situation, but my job, I knew who I was. I knew what my role was. I was very clear about where we were going. My job was to step in and help somebody move to the next step. I couldn't solve it all at once. We can't solve our problems all at once, but you move to the next step. And so from that perspective, it didn't make the problem go away, but I was able to creatively, courageously, with curiosity, work my way through a challenge, because oftentimes people don't realize a firefighter's never seen the challenge that they're presented with. It's an unknown puzzle. Yeah. Sometimes it's a, and that's another perspective. It's a repeated puzzle that we, you know, runs could often be the same. If anybody out there is a firefighter and knows what I'm talking about, we all have work that just shows up again and again. But when those situations come up, when they're critical and you don't know what's going to happen, and this applies whether it's your life right now where you're at, or whether it was a firefighter meeting an uncertainty, you just work your way through it, but you do it with understanding who you are and who you want to be. And back to that simple tool, right now, where you're at, simple questions. Who do I want to be and how do I want to be? And whatever position you're in, whatever challenge you're facing, I ask myself that question all the time. It's a simple tool. Who do I want to be and how do I want to be? Am I close or farther? And what's one step I can take to move myself closer to being who I want to be or how I want to be?
I love that. Dave, that was a perfect landing spot too, as we're running out of time here. So you do keynote speaking, breakout sessions, workshops, online programs. If somebody says, hey, I just heard this guy, David, I need him to come into my organization and talk with us. What's the best way for people to reach out to you?
DavidLandis.me, and email me at David@DavidLandis.me.
Awesome. And before we go, I always ask my guests for one final word of wisdom. And so what's top of mind, and what's that last word you want to share with folks?
No matter where you're at in this world, you have an opportunity. You have a potential. It is possible. Whatever it is you're hoping, whether it is something large and amazing vision, or if it's a simple need today, you can take the next step, develop the clarity, write it down, and realize that more is possible. Seek out a simple tool right now. Look for help where you need the help, whatever it is. We have an amazing world of resources right now. It depends on what you're looking for. Look for your next step. It is possible. Write down a sentence. Who do you want to be and how do you want to be today? Even in the middle of the challenge or the blessing that you're in the middle of right now.
Awesome. David, it was great to have you on here. And I love the time just flew by.
That was quick, Jerry. Yeah. I appreciate it. You are a wonderful person. I appreciate talking to you.
Wow. I hope you got a lot out of that conversation like I did. You know, some of the big takeaways for me were, again, the importance of journaling and how it can help bring clarity into your life. What's going well? What's not going well? You can ask yourself questions and help bring out those inside answers, make them real in a sense, because the cool thing about journaling is it takes something that is nebulous and not tangible, and it turns it into something. It becomes a creation the moment you write it down onto a piece of paper. It becomes tangible. You can look at it. You can read it. You can touch the paper. You could add notes to it, all those things. So to me, journaling is very much creation. Writing a book, writing an essay, a blog post, those are creation, or moments of creation. And that's, I think, what we're here to do. We're here to be creators. And, you know, that doesn't always mean you have to write a book, you know, do a painting or those types of things. Having a conversation is a creation. Leading somebody to the next step in their journey in life is a creation. Getting to your next step in life, also an act of creation. And journaling can play a big part in that. And that was one of the biggest takeaways for me. And then from there, you know, once you have that clarity on what is going on in my life? What do I want? You know, who am I? Having that statement of who you are is huge. You know, what do you stand for? What will you always say yes to? What will you never be about? You know, that helps you decide, what do I always say no to? Those guardrails in life. I know businesses use in their strategic plans guardrails, things they will always do to achieve their strategic goals and live up to their mission and vision and core values. But they also have guardrails for what they will never do, because those actions and behaviors would undermine all the work that they're doing. And yeah, journaling helps you create that for yourself. So I love that. Now, if you want more of David Landis, his website, his LinkedIn account, you know, more episodes of Beyond the Rut similar to this one, where we talk about mindset and possibilities, then check out the show notes at beyondtherut.com/416. There you'll find links to all that, plus links to my book, Beyond the Rut, Create a Life Worth Living in Your Faith, Family, and Career, and any other resources that I feel will be of great help to you. And now, I'm glad you joined me for this episode, and I look forward to joining you again on the next one. But until then, go live life beyond the rut. Take care.